UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
Time now for the V Show with Bob Valvano on your sports station, ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
And welcome into the V Show. Thanks to Marcus Maven and Mike Pratt for filling in for Bobby V on a fast break Friday, but taking you down the stretch now is your boy Nick Valvano. That was rude of me. I should have included our guest first. That was very, I'm sorry, that was not tactful. But it is one Keith Pointer Esquire at Ville Sports Law, I believe.
Yeah, at Ville Sports Law. Welcome. Thanks for having me, Nick. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for being here, buddy. I didn't want to do this last hour alone. That would have been scary. I probably would have said bad words. And there would have been a St. Valentine's Day massacre of the English language. And no one really wants that. So thank you for sitting in. I'm sorry for being rude during the introduction.
No, and no problem at all, Nick. It's always good to be here and just happy to sit in this seat. I wish your pop was here. I mean, this is big shoes to fill.
Well, you got some big feet. You know, they say about big feet.
That's right.
In the law room.
That's right.
Great cross-examination.
Exactly.
I don't know
right.
I made that up. But, okay, so we'll talk a little sports. Paul Biancardi, hopefully Uncle Paulie, will be joining us around 2:30, hopefully if his flight lands and everything's okay, if that's on time. So, but we got some Chris Mack sound. You just heard Coach Calipari at his weekly press conference, or the one that he does. That was brought to you by UPS Jobs. Check out upsjobs.com and learn how to graduate debt-free, become a member of Metro College, or join the UPS Job Loop program. Great stuff there. It's a happy Valentine's Day to everybody. So I guess we'll dive into the UK talk. Big game. I think this is a weekend of I just kind of came up with the term, and I don't know if this is musty or not, but it's a BTO weekend. Bachman Turner Overdrive.
Yeah, that's
just
musty.
Take care of business. this is a weekend where, I mean, the Cats are coming off of, I don't want to say an underwhelming performance because they got the W, and you play to win the game. I can't stretch over to the buttons and get Herm Edwards to say it, but they got the W. They made an impressive 14-point comeback. Vanderbilt was playing great. They're another team, I think, that's somewhat like Georgia Tech, that is, dare I say, underrated. I mean, they've kind of been like a punchline right. In the conference. Well, these are conferences that are both down, the ACC and the SEC. And quite honestly, I believe Packer and Durham refer to it as the glob in the middle of the ACC. The SEC, I think, is similar. And I certainly don't think Vanderbilt is a pushover by any means. I think they proved that against UK. That now I'm not putting heart-shaped candies on a crap sundae or whatever. That was a terrible analogy. I was trying to shoehorn in Valentine's, but you get my drift. It was a bad performance in the first half by UK. They rallied. They did get the W, but I feel like now they have to bounce back from that. And this is a team where, quite honestly, I mean, Ole Miss, they have a player that is white hot. And I was going through, and I was looking UK is, I believe, the best defensive team in the SEC. And so tip of the cap to them there. However, they do at times struggle against elite guards. And they face one of the most elite prolific scorers in the nation, and Brian Taylor and Turner, I'm sorry. And he's averaging like 25 points a game. He had 23 the last game against Florida, I believe. I mean, I don't know how necessarily, I don't feel like it's necessarily a pushover task coming off a Vanderbilt game where you kind of stumbled out of the gate and you have a guy that can absolutely go off. And I mean, if I'm a UK fan, I'm a little worried about that.
Well, I think that's what Louisville fans and Kentucky fans can kind of, you know, there are very few things that they can, you know, hold hands about and act like they understand. But the idea of underwhelming performances against teams that you're supposed to beat causes concern, and it does it especially this late in the year. You know, you've got, you know, Louisville, while they, you know, had the 10-game winning streak, they weren't dominating in any. Well, for sure not in many of them, if any. And Kentucky, when you go down 14 to Vanderbilt, as much as I sat on the couch hoping for bad things to happen, it just didn't, you know. But you're equally scared if you're a Kentucky fan and a Louisville fan, because you recognize that when we get a month from now and you have a performance like that and you don't, and you're not able to turn it on, and you're not able to have, like for Louisville, those, you know, the comeback in the last minute or the last two or three minutes where you eke it out. If Kentucky does this against this Ole Miss team, they're capable of losing. Now, I mean, that's the beauty of college basketball or whatever, but, you know, it's an unpredictable season and there are no dominant teams. You'd really like to see Kentucky take care of business. You'd like to see them do it against Vanderbilt. We'll see how they do tomorrow against an Ole Miss team that they really should beat handily. But yeah, I would be concerned if I was a Kentucky fan.
I mean, I loved Mike Pratt's analogy about players picking up players and how four players can pick up one and then three can pick up two, but two can't pick up three. I thought that was really good. And that's been indicative this whole year of UK's team. And those four players being quickly Richards, Maxey, and Higgins, obviously. But so in that regard, I do feel like, okay, it's all been about the fact that they don't have much depth. But when those four guys are clicking, they have a team that could potentially make it to the national championship, because those four players are, when they're clicking,
right,
are fabulous. I mean, Brian Tyree it's Pratt's analogy. One player can't pick up four,
right?
But I do feel like he can knock them back on their heels a little bit. And I do kind of wonder, I mean, this is a team that has struggled shooting a little bit. I don't know enough about Ole Miss's defense to really break it down there, but I do feel like this is not gonna, it's a taking care of business game, but it's not an easy win. I don't think, especially after that Vanderbilt game, I think as a UK fan going in there, like you said, I mean, these are two programs that have definitely not always taken care of business in the sense that as a fan you feel confident going forward. Now Pops always does the coach speak, and I do think that's a valuable perspective, because that's probably what's going on in the locker room.
Right.
They're not listening to sports talk radio, but they do still refer to the eye test and everything like that when it comes to seeding in that regard. So I do think maybe you do, outside looking in, that's also a unique perspective as the fans. And I think that, yeah, this is a season where both teams have been just, there hasn't been a whole lot of relaxation. There's been some moments of elation, some moments of down, but there just has been a whole lot of just grinding things out. And the Vanderbilt game, case in point, and the Georgia Tech game, I mean, that was not Georgia Tech playing lights out basketball.
Right.
That was two people in a three-legged race, and they just were more determined. They had the stronger middle leg.
Yeah.
Ooh, that might be on the mixtape.
When you know, this game is so mental. And so when things are going well for you, they continue to go well. And when things start to go bad, then all of a sudden it just sort of spirals down. And this has been the biggest grind of a season that I can remember. And especially when you consider Louisville's 21-4. And I'm not certain what Kentucky's record is. I'm sure it's fantastic. But, you know, you just don't feel comfortable about any of it, because it's not like you've delivered dominating performances if you're a Louisville
19-5, by the way.
19-5. A good record, right? I mean, there's nothing wrong with 19-5, except the SEC's down.
Right. As is the ACC.
As is the ACC. And so, you know, you'd like to think that with the caliber of recruits that John Calipari has been bringing in, that he would be able to take on a down year for college basketball and extend and have a 21-3 or 22-3 kind of record. And we haven't seen that yet. So if I was a Kentucky fan, I'd be a little bit frustrated by that. As a Louisville fan, I am frustrated. I'm as frustrated as you can be at 21-4. Because of the four losses, you can look at them and think, where did they come from and why? You know, and Georgia Tech was the worst of those, But
absolutely.
You know, I think Kentucky's going to be fine. I don't think they're going to be anything different than what we think they are and what they've been so far. What do you think? Second weekend?
What up, PJ? PJ walking in. Yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing. I think both teams here, I believe U of L is, in the latest bracketology, was like a 2 seed.
Yep.
UK was floating around a 4, I think. And I mean, both teams, and both, I mean, 2, you got to, I mean, that's a solid seeding. 4, the problem is both teams have played when they're bad, their floor.
Right.
Is still bad enough to get knocked out.
Sure.
Comfortably by a bad matchup. And I mean, you're going to see a lot of that this year with all the parity and the quote unquote lack of elite teams, even though some teams are kind of the cream is somewhat rising. I do kind of wonder if there's like an East Coast bias there because all the teams that are good are either mid majors or out west, or both. But, I do kind of wonder, if these last couple games down the stretch, how much confidence, at least as a fan, you can maybe see from your team. Just taking care of business, BTO games. And when I say taking care of business, I mean just eliminating maybe some of the mistakes that you saw in the games that were kind of dumpster fires, you know, bad shooting, ugly turnovers,
right.
Forced shots. I mean, just little stuff. I mean, I'm certainly no X's and O's aficionado. You know, I can tell you how to break a neutral zone trap in hockey. I don't necessarily know how to do it, you know, with basketball.
Right.
I'll leave that to Dad. But UPS Jobs text line, 437-9680, if you want to get a hold of the show. It's Keith Pointer, Nick Valvano taking you down the stretch. Paul Biancardi has landed. He's on the tarmac.
Sweet.
So he will be joining us on the other side of this break. But feel free to text in. We'll take you up till 3 o'clock with Andy Sweeney coming on board. Mixtape coming up today at 5:30. Haymakers all around. So that'll be a lot of fun. Keep it locked to ESPN 680-1057. But if you want to join us, by all means, 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. Text coming in here. Who is longer winded, Jason Anderson or Nikki V? I am filling space, good sir.
That's high praise right there, because no one's more long winded than Jason Anderson. So if you can be held in the same esteem, then you're doing pretty good.
Anytime I am being compared to a one Jason Anderson, I will definitely take it as a compliment. However, I did reply to that person, you. When you walk up the stairs. Paul Biancardi on the other side.
I've seen the Joshua tree. Got down on my knees. Through the virgin mother of prayer. I walk glass barefooted. Stroll across the devil's high cold. I've tried everything, I swear. But hey, what can I say? Desperate man. I said, hey, what can I say? I'm just a desperate man.
Desperate man indeed. He calls me, texts me about 12:30, 12:45. I need somebody from 2 to 3. Can you please, please, please help me? So you got to be desperate. You asked for me and here we are. But that was the only caveat. The only thing I said you had to do was play Eric Church. Bro country.
Dude, thank you. Just I'm trying to think of who was it that Doug Flutie threw the pass to. You are that man. Thank you.
Glad to be here for you, Nikki. Glad to be here. Hey, and speaking of people that are here for you, Beer Nose Lunch dropped. We want to give a special thanks to George and the Beer Nose by the Bridge staff for bringing by lunch to ESPN Louisville Studios. I go to the back room when I first get here, and it looks like the cafeteria. Everything's destroyed. Pizza remnants everywhere. You get here close to 2 o'clock, it's all gone. I should know better. Celebrate Valentine's Day. Order any Beer Nose pizza through Valentine's Day, and they'll make it heart-shaped. It's your spot before all Louisville basketball games, concerts at the KFC Yum Center. Louisville women's basketball versus Notre Dame on Sunday. You can order delivery or carry out this weekend. Yeah, it's that good, Beer Nose Pizza. All right, we've got Uncle Paul going to join us here. He's on the tarmac, or he's landed.
I just got a text. He's in the Uber.
He's in the Uber.
So I'm giving him a buzz now. We'll see. We'll see if we can grab him in just a second. But he recently tweeted about the UK three-guard attack of Quickley, Higgins, and Tyrese Maxey, and how that has definitely helped Nick Richards. Not his sophomore explosion, his junior jolt, I guess, if you will.
There you go.
I just came up with that off the top of my head. But, yeah, so I think that's Paulie B calling us right now. I'll get him on the line, and, yeah, we'll talk a little Cards, Cats, Hoosiers, too, coming off that big win against Iowa, and maybe some recruiting.
How about that? You got the Hoosiers coming off the big win, and the question, I guess, is going to be, with respect to Archie, is he going to, you know, how's that going to play out for him there? I know there's a lot of... You know, that's a fan base that's got to be pretty miserable. We've talked a little bit about Louisville. We've talked a little bit about Kentucky and whether or not, you know, we feel like we're grinding. If you're Indiana, you feel like you're sinking, which, you know, I don't know that I feel exactly terrible about that for Indiana because nothing good from my perspective has ever come from over there, with the exception of one Andy Sweeney. He's probably the best thing to come out of Indiana. But, you know, so we'll talk to Paul. We'll find out what his thoughts are with respect to, you know, Kentucky's their emergence of their three guards, and how Nick Richards has kind of emerged and been the beneficiary of that. It was pretty interesting listening to Cal talking about the pay for play, name, image, and likeness kind of thing. And I'm curious how that's all going to play out. Cal's right. You've got 50 states. You've got all, you know, to try to make a law that's going to govern all of those things. It'll be curious to see because, you know, there is no level playing field. Those were the notes that I wrote down from Cal's press conference. There's no level playing field. He talked about the budgets for Ohio State versus the budgets for Sacred Heart. And it'll just be curious how all of that can go. We got Paul there?
Indeed we do.
All right. One
ESPN National Recruiting Director, Uncle Paulie, Paul Biancardi, joins us now in the lovely, lovely scenic hills of Blacksburg, Virginia. Paul, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, guys. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, man. Thanks for making some time and definitely slumming it with me and Keith as we fill in for Pops here. But what are you doing in Virginia? I mean, is there a good Italian restaurant out that way or what?
Not that I know of. mostly steak and beef out here. I'm calling the Pitt Virginia Tech game tomorrow on the ACC Network at 6 p.m.
Nice.
And I'm heading over to see Mike Young's practice here at 3 o'clock.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome. Well, thanks for carving out some time for us. I wanted to get to a tweet that you mentioned. A big weekend here for the locals, starting with UK. They got a pretty tough matchup with that white hot Brian Tyree from Ole Miss. I mean, he seems to be able to go off for like 30 every night. But you tweeted about the three guard attack from UK: Emmanuel Quickley, Tyrese Maxey, and Ashton Higgins, and what their development means, especially with Nick Richards. I feel like a comment maybe on Coach Cal's ability to develop these guys and what you're seeing so far this year.
Yeah, guys, you got to remember, I've watched Coach Cal since his days at UMass. I was at Boston College, and, you know, we were rivals, and we played each other a couple of times, and they beat us twice. So I've seen him not only recruit, but developed his team. And his teams always got better at the end of the season, always. And that's just a trademark of what he does. He's great at bringing people together, getting them on the same page to play for a common cause. And now at Kentucky, he's doing the same thing. He did it at Memphis. I love a three-guard attack. We played that at Boston College in the 90s, and it got us to the Elite Eight. I think it's coming back now to some degree. But you got Quickley, who's a sophomore, older, been through the ringer a little bit, and Higgins as well, and then you got Maxey, the freshman. I just like the way they play off each other. I like the way they look for each other. Higgins is the defender, Maxey's the bucket getter, and Quickley is the IQ guy, but also the open three-point shooter. And that blend with Nick Richards is as good attack as there is in the SEC. And the SEC up top, is, as we both know, is real strong. So I like the way the team's coming together. You got Johnny Juzang to make shots, hopefully, and Nate Sestina to give him some minutes. EJ Montgomery is still an X factor in my mind. But I like the way this team is coming together. I like the chemistry of the team. You can tell they like each other.
No, absolutely. And I think you bring up a couple of names there that are definitely been biddied and bantered around lately, Johnny Juzang and E.J. Montgomery especially. But we had Mike Pratt on earlier today with Fast Break Friday, and he brought up his he kind of has like a mantra about how four guys can pick up one and how three guys can pick up two, but two guys can't pick up three. And this is a UK team that has kind of lacked depth all year. And granted, those four guys, Quickly, Higgins, Maxey, and Richards, are good enough, if they're all clicking, for those reasons you just gave, to honestly make a late postseason run, maybe even to the Final Four. But who is the X factor, you think, that can step up and maybe bolster that lineup a little bit? Has anyone really kind of emerged in your eyes?
I still think it's E.J. Montgomery. I think those four guys we just mentioned have been pretty consistent, especially in the areas that they're most strongest in. You know, Higgins defensively and Maxey scoring. And Maxey contributes even if he doesn't score, and Quickly as well. I think E.J. Montgomery, I don't think you know what you're going to get from him game to game, and I think he can impact it defensively with some shot blocking, shot contesting because of his length. I think he can get to the offensive glass. And he can score a little bit from the elbows down. I'd like to see him bring, you know, a high level of energy to every game. And, boy, you get him playing with a little bit more motor and focus, and this team becomes really, really special.
I definitely agree. I've been a fan of E.J. Montgomery since I got to cover the UK LSU game, and I thought he played with a lot of grit, and I wanted to see more of him. And I know he's kind of been up and down, but that kind of leads into my next question. We'll put a bow maybe here on the UK talk with this. I got a little like two parter here for you. Mentioning E.J., does he come back next year? I mean, who do you think Cal loses? And I know they got a great class coming in with Terrence Clark and B.J. Boston and Devin Askew. I mean, maybe talk a little bit about who you think is leaving, and talk a little bit about this top-ranked class that you guys have ranked number one, I believe, coming in.
Yeah, it's always difficult to forecast who's leaving because you don't know what kids are thinking about. But, you know, today's kid, basketball player, high level kid, goes to Kentucky. When he signs his letter of intent, or when he shows up to Lexington, sometimes they're already thinking about leaving.
Good point.
I think what happens is that really hurts their growth in the game. It hurts their team. It hurts their development. Bags in the team. That's when the team becomes better, and that player becomes better. Nick Richards, a great example. Quickly, another example. I think Higgins is obviously one that's going to step out. I think Maxey had goals of going to the NBA. And I think Richards, I think those three guys will, you know, as they say, test the waters, put their name in. And, you know, it depends how anybody else plays down the stretch. But I don't think Quickly is a guy that needs to go anywhere at all. I think he needs to continue to come back to school. And E.J. Montgomery needs a lot more development. Nick Richards could use development, but he's also got to a point where I think he's made a name and a game for himself, and I think he has a spot in that NBA draft if he continues on this projection.
Paul Biancardi here with us on ESPN 680. Paul, Keith Pointer here. Just curious, a couple questions. Switching up from Kentucky to Louisville talk now. I'm sure you've had an opportunity, if you didn't watch the game live, you've at least you read about it, heard about it, and you know all the news about Georgia Tech and what happened in Atlanta earlier this week. How do you explain something like that to someone who's just a casual basketball fan or even a seasoned veteran? What did you see? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, in February, it's separation time, right? January is the grind, and you're trying to create that identity. You're trying to establish yourself in conference play. And now in February, everybody who has something to lose, really more than anything, plays with a greater sense of urgency. And I think that's what you saw from Georgia Tech. I think Louisville showed up, but Georgia Tech played with great urgency. In fact, the last time those two teams played, I think it was a one-possession game that Louisville won against Georgia Tech. They've done a good job defending Wara, Georgia Tech, and he only had 2 points in this recent game. So I just think Georgia Tech played a very, very strong game at home. And, you know, Louisville played well, but, you know, not well enough to win on the road. You've got to show up with the same urgency as your opponent because the talent isn't that different in the ACC. There is some difference in talent, but urgency can make up for the lack of talent.
Well, and I'm curious because from watching the UofL, you know, much has been talked about with their 10-game winning streak through the ACC, first time in 37 years that that's happened. Obviously, the ACC is not what it was for over the last 37 years. But as a fan watching these games, it seems like there have been a lot of times where there have been a lack of urgency. We're playing down to maybe some mediocre competition. And I don't know, is that part of the grind that you're referencing in January?
Well, the grind wears you down, right? Anytime, you know, you go through the grind, it wears you down mentally more than anything. I think coaches in February are coaching two things. They're coaching confidence, and they're trying to create a freshness with their team and their players, their team as a whole, and then individual players. And that has to be a mental freshness where their mind has to almost need a break from the game, and their legs need to be fresh. And they went through so much that I think coaches now have to be creative in days off, what to do with their time, maybe an activity away from basketball. I think that's really important, guys, because I think a lot of these kids get burnt out because they play so much. Off-season, they train, and then we know how grueling the practices are, the film sessions, the weight training. They're still going to class. They're doing homework. You know, they have tests to take. The travel, even if it's by charter, it's difficult. So I think there's a lot of mental fatigue going on in college basketball. So that's why the older teams, kids that have been through this once, twice, maybe even three times, understand that at this stage of the game, you have to beat the fatigue mentally more than anything.
Gotcha. One last question about Louisville, and I'll throw it back to Nick because I know he had some IU questions he wanted to ask. Jay Scrubb, we going to see him in Louisville, or what are your thoughts about that?
Well, I think he needs to be in Louisville. That's just my opinion. The NBA draft is you know, it's going to be really strong this year, and you know, the numbers have been thrown out. I think 80 guys put their name into the draft, and there was a huge number that didn't even get drafted and are not playing professional basketball in this country, maybe overseas, maybe in the G League. The odds are against you, and I think he needs some, you know, he needs some development just like all these other players do. And I think a year in the ACC and maybe 2 years just to polish his game to show scouts what he can do against ACC competition is huge, because it's a big difference between junior college defense and ACC defense. And it's a difference in terms of getting your shot off, scouting report, the length of the season. It's really night and day. I mean, junior college is a great step for a lot of these guys, but there's a learning curve, and it's big. And junior college kids only have 2 years to go. So to answer your question, yes, I think he'll be in Louisville.
Well, that makes everyone here feel a little bit better on the Louisville side. When you know you're losing more, the guys you're going to lose.
I mean, that's my thought. That's if I was, you know, his advisor, that's what I would tell him. Unless somebody's telling you, you're absolutely guaranteed to go in the first round, and then you go. A lot of kids today go even though there's no guarantees of the second round. They want to go into the free agent market, and I can rattle off some great names. Not right now, but I can look them up. That are in the G League that were great high school players and junior college players. So the longer you stay in the game and develop, the better your chances are in the draft.
Well, and I said to you a minute ago that was the last question on Louisville, but I lied.
Oh, that's a V-show thing.
Yeah, right? Well, I'm a lawyer, so it's expected. Yeah. So here's the other part of that. Jordan Warr has not been listed on first round for a lot of the mock drafts. You know, he was obviously ACC Player of the Year coming out. There's a lot of talk about, you know, his stock and where that is currently. But the latest mock drafts don't have Jordan Warr going in the first round. If he's a second round guy and you're advising him, you know, it's different than Jay Scrubb. But if you were advising him and he wasn't guaranteed first round money, what would your advice be to a player like Jordan Warr?
Well, first of all, is there an upside in his game? I mean, can he become a better player coming back at Louisville? And that's the first thing I would look at and examine. And if he's going to duplicate what he did this year, then that's really good. And that could get him in the first round, because next year's draft could be different than this year's draft. And people say, well, he's a year older. You know, the clock is a little older. But I'm telling you what, talking to a lot of these NBA GMs and scouts, they like these older guys that come out of college because they can depend on them to put them into a roster with maybe a team that is experienced or inexperienced. It doesn't matter. They they like guys with high IQ that can make shots, that know how to play. They have to coach them less because so many kids are coming to the NBA so young, 19, 20. You look at the NBA, I mean, I don't know what the average age is, but it's young. So I think if he can up his stock and play himself into the first round, I'd have to talk to you. The NBA will tell you not what you want to hear, but what the truth is. If he puts that request in, all 30 NBA teams will give him a report of where he stands. And if it's not in the first round, I think you work to come back and be a first-round draft pick. That's just my advice.
Gotcha.
ESPN's National Recruiting Director, Paul Biancardi. Uncle Paulie here joining the V Show with Keith Pointer and Nick Valvano, in for Bobby V. Thanks for the time, Paul.
Keith, one more point.
Yes, sir.
On your question. If he comes back to Louisville and he's a second-round pick, he's lost nothing.
That's a good point.
If you're going to go now and be a second-round pick, and you're going to go next year and be a second-round pick, then really, you know, maybe you lost a year of salary. But I think if you're good enough and you believe in yourself, you take that chance.
That's a good point. That's a real good point. All right, we got to get a question in for our friends up the road, IU. They get a big win last night. Devontae Green seems to be hit or miss for the Hoosiers, but their freshman Trace Jackson Davis has been very good. The question, though, here, there's a lot of disgruntled IU fans.
No, really?
And one of the things... I know, right? In other news, the sky is blue. But one of the things that they're...
Carolina blue. Not Carolina blue, by the way. Blue this year.
One of the things they're a little upset about is they don't know where to hang their hat. And while Trace Jackson Davis is great, last year they did get Romeo Langford. They didn't really have anything to show for it. Our Paisan Joe Lenardi has him as an 11 seed getting into the NCAA tournament. Next year, do the Hoosiers have anybody coming in? Is the cavalry coming? Because a lot of Hoosier fans are a little upset that Archie's not getting it done on the recruiting front. Can you ease their pain a little bit?
Yes. First of all, they need to take some, you know, I don't know, what's a, you know, maybe a Valium or something, just to relax. Okay. He's building a program, and he's getting the kids that he needs to get to win. Trace Jackson Davis, Romeo Langford, the last time I checked, those were, you know, 2 5-star guys. Best players in the state. You're not going to get every player that you try to recruit. Next year they have a 3-member class. I love this kid Geronimo from Massachusetts. He plays his prep ball in New Hampshire, but he plays his summer basketball for the Rivals. He's 6'6", and he's just a piece of dynamite. And they got another shooter by the name of Lille. They got guys who can shoot and score next year with good versatility and size from 6'4 to 6'6". But here's what you got to know about Archie Miller. He's building a program, and talk about grinding and a grinder. That's what he is. Now, he did it at Dayton. Some people say, well, you know what? Everybody wins at Dayton. Well, maybe, but not everybody goes to the Elite Eight, and that's what he did. He understands what the team needs to do. Now listen to me, guys, because I was in that conference for 7 years. Those kids that are on that roster now, they've never won big, so they don't know what it takes to win big, and that's why Archie's there. He's trying to teach the mindset, and he's being demanding with it. And, you know, sometimes I'm sure they're resisting, like a lot of kids do, to certain ways. They lose to Purdue. Look at the bounce back against Iowa. Kids have to listen to their coach and follow the game plan. And again, the Hoosiers, the kids, some of those kids are not playing with urgency like they need to. And you can say, well, is that the coach's fault? I don't think so. I think coaches try to do everything they can to motivate players. You know, what beats inside the chest will ultimately decide how hard a kid plays. But Archie's recruiting kids that love to play, love to be in the gym, gym rats, guys that can shoot it. I have all the faith in the world in Archie Miller.
Well, that'll definitely appease some people. All right, Uncle Paulie, appreciate the time. Right before we get out, though, here, do you have any tips for the youngsters? We are Italians. We're beautiful. Romantic people. You got a go-to song or something? We came back to Eric Church today. That's kind of, you know, our demographic here in Kentucky. But you got a go-to?
A go-to song?
Yeah.
With the word love in it?
Well, just, I mean, anything. I mean, and do you go old school, you know, Rat Pack or what?
Well, listen, it's Valentine's Day, right? I've been married 26 years, and I'm going to give you the secret to marriage. You ready?
Oh, absolutely. I got my pen in my hand.
My wife and I, we both love the same man. That's all you got to know, guys. Have a good day.
See you, Paul.
And with that, Paul Biancardi, ESPN's National Recruiting Director. Thank you very much. All right, you were listening to Keith Pointer and Nick Valvano in for Bobby V. Pops, hope you feel better. It'll be The Take coming to you on the other side, our friend Andy Sweeney. We have the mixtape coming up at 5:30. Thanks for listening, everybody. Keep it locked to ESPN Louisville this weekend for UK and U of L post and pregame action. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded. Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, future you gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.